At the Table with Tony is brought to you by Trafe Hustlin. That's www.trafehustlin.com. Your home for all things barbecue.
My name is Lydia Bastianich, and you are listening to At the Table with Tony Mangia.
Welcome to At the Table with Tony. I'm your host, Anthony Shilia, but most of you know me as Tony Mangia. Come along with me as I visit the places, meet the people, and eat the food that make many communities in this great country Italian-American. Andiamo! On this episode of At the Table with Tony, I have the extreme honor and privilege of sitting down with chef, restaurateur, cookbook author, and TV personality, Lydia Bastianich, at her flagship restaurant, Flidia, in New York City. We talk about her growing up in Istria, Italy, how she came to America, as well as how she got started in the restaurant industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome to At the Table with Tony. My name is Anthony Shilia, but most of you know me as Tony Mangia. Today, I have the extreme honor and privilege of welcoming chef, restaurateur, and cookbook author Lydia Bastianich to the show. Lydia, thank you so much for welcoming us into your restaurant, Flidia, here on New York City's Upper East Side.
Buongiorno, Tony. Welcome.
Grazie. Thank you so much for like I said, opening up your doors to us. And let's start off with my first question for you. In your autobiography, My American Dream, you write about the importance of family and food. Why do you think these two things are so connected, especially for Italians?
They are undividable. You cannot divide the two. Food is part of the family. And family needs food, and food keeps the family together, but not only the family, it connects. You know, food is at the basis of everybody. It's a common denominator for all of us, but it has a special meaning for an Italian family. You're right.
And again, I mean, whether it's a wedding, whether it's a funeral, whether it's just a Sunday dinner, food seems as a crazy way of bringing us together as a friends and family.
Well, food is just that. You know, we all need food. We all need to eat, to survive. It's nourishment. But with food comes a lot of other things. Our culture, memories, affections, expressions, love, all of that. Food is a great carrier and a great connector.
So you also write beautifully about the positive impact your family had on your upbringing, especially your maternal grandmother, Nonna Rosa. Can you share with us some of your childhood memories?
Absolutely. You know, I was born in a part of Italy, Istria, let's say, which is no longer Italy. It's now part of Croatia. But after World War II, Istria was given to the communist Yugoslavia, so it became a communist regime behind the Iron Curtain. We were missing a lot of the essentials of life. We couldn't speak Italian, we couldn't go to church. There wasn't even enough food. And Grandma, she provided. She provided for the whole family. She had, in a little town, she had her little courtyard with the animals, ducks, geese. We had rabbits, we had goats. I would milk the goats for morning breakfast. We had two pigs every year, November, slaughter, prosciutto, salsicce, bacon. Then, of course, the garden, the extension of the garden. She would make the beans, of course, eat them fresh, but save them for the winter, the potatoes, the wheat. Everything, oil, Grandpa made the wine. So I grew up in a setting very close to food, making food, growing food, generating food. And it was with Grandma. I was a little helper. And little did I know that that was going to become the rest of my life.
So what were some of your first food memories?
My food memories were just what I told you. I remember milking that goat, and when you milk a goat, it makes foam. So I had cappuccino when cappuccino wasn't in vogue. the smells of rosemary I would get for her, the rosemary branches to cook. But, we also played hide and seek in the rosemary bushes, and we would kind of snuggle into the rosemary bushes and smell like rosemary for 2 days. So it's endless, the connection, the connection to the aromas, the flavors, the cycle of food is all, with me from that time, from childhood.
That's amazing. So can you tell us a little bit about how you came to settle here in America?
Well, as I said, that part was communist, life was tough, and ultimately my parents decided that we needed to get back to Italy. And we literally had to escape back into Italy. And once we got on the other side, we did it separately. My mother, my father, my mother, my brother, and I went with the train. My father literally escaped the night. And in Italy, we had family, but life was tough. And then we were immigrants because we had no papers, our names were changed and so on. So we had to enter a political refugee camp in Trieste for 2 years. We were in San Saba. And ultimately awaiting for an opportunity to migrate. And Dwight Eisenhower was the president in 1958, and he opened the door for immigrants, for people fleeing communism. And we were on that list. So we came here in 1958, and we were brought here by the Catholic Relief Services.
So what was it like adapting to the American way of life while still having a strong Italian identity?
Well, you know, as an immigrant, and you kind of always are you are very clannish. The family is clannish. Then we found a little Italian gathering of other immigrants. And so you retain that part, you know, and the shops that have all the things that you need. But as a youngster, you know, I was 12 when I came. I wanted to insert myself. I wanted to become American. And for all purposes, I am very American because most of my life I did spend in America. And so it was, you know, learn the language because we didn't speak the language. And, you know, get to know this culture, get to know the schools, get to know, go make friends, you know. Elvis Presley, the time of Elvis Presley, I remember rock and roll, all of that stuff. I wanted to be part of all of it.
Oh, that's great. So before opening Philidia on Manhattan's Upper East Side in 1981, you had two very successful restaurants in Queens, Buona Via and Villa Secondo. How did you initially get started in the restaurant industry?
Well, you know, I didn't know that food is going to be my business, my life. But I did meet my husband, who was also an immigrant, and he was in the restaurant business. Now, through my school years here, like every kid, you work part-time. So I worked in bakeries. I always gravitated towards food. I worked in restaurants as a server, always ended up in the back cooking something. But I met my husband, we married, and he was the front of the house, as we call. And he wanted to open a restaurant. And in 1971, we opened our first little restaurants. It had 9 tables, and that was Buona Via.
And then Villa Secondo came.
Well, the Buona Via was doing very well. You know, I was not a chef. We hired a chef. My husband was in the front. I ultimately ended up going with the chef in the kitchen, becoming his sous chef, because I wanted now to learn the profession. And for 10 years, I did that. But in the meantime, we were doing very well. We expanded Buona Via. And then we bought the second place, Villa Secondo, which was in Fresh Meadows.
Now we are sitting here in Philidia, and this is your flagship restaurant now. So what was your inspiration in its opening?
Well, the inspiration was, first of all, being out in the island, we had a lot of followers. People became journalists. They noticed because I began cooking some of the things that I cooked at home, you know, like the polenta, the risotto. and people were curious. So everybody said the press said, you know, Lydia, you should really be in the city. You should really be in the city and with this food. And so we decided maybe that's what we should do. We sold the two restaurants. And with that money, we projected Philidia. And in 1981, Philidia opened, and I became the chef. And I decided to cook the regional food of Italy, because the first chef was Italian-American. Now, Italian-American food is very good, and it's still, you know, popular. Everybody loves it. But in Italy, one eats differently. And so I said, okay, I have to cook how we cook at home, how it's cooked in Italy. And that's when I became even more kind of, who is this young woman, Italian chef, cooking this strange Italian food? And that's when sort of the press and everybody else began to come and visit. Even Julia Child and James Beard came to visit and have dinner.
Oh, wow. So that's a great segue into my next question for you. So how were you able to educate the public on the regionality of Italian cuisine? I mean, Italian cuisine is truly, it's a regional cuisine. I mean, there's the food of Abruzzo, the food of Trieste, the food of Sicily. So how were you able to educate the people?
Well, yeah, it's a process. You know, it's 20 regions. And even within those 20 regions,
yeah, it's micro.
Yeah, yes. The same pasta fagioli is different.
Yeah.
If you eat it in Abruzzi or in Liguria, it's a different pasta fagioli, but it's pasta fagioli. So, you know, I mean, I was selective. I chose recipes that I thought, you know, people would really connect to and like. And seasonal, because that's how we cooked in Italy, very seasonal. It was dictated by the seasons. I think the real opportunity came when I got to be on television and the books. And Julia Child was instrumental in that, because when she came, she wanted to learn how to make risotto. We became friends. She came to the house, and ultimately she asked me to be on her show. It was the MasterChef series. And we did two episodes, and the producer says, "Hey, Lydia, you're pretty good. How about a show of your own?" And she encouraged me. She said, "Lydia, you do for Italian food what I did for French." And that was my beginning of my PBS series, which is 20 years now that I'm doing.
One of my favorite shows.
Yeah, thank you.
One of my favorite shows. And again, that was a way that, as a young Italian American, to learn about the regionality of Italian cuisine was by watching shows like that you have.
Yeah, it was. I get a lot of responses from the Italian community, Italian American community, and of course from the Americans, because you know Italian food is the number one ethnic food in America. So you know everybody wants to eat it certainly and know about it and cook it whenever possible.
So that's a great, again, another great segue into my next question. One of your brand new cookbooks is the book about the restaurant, Felitti. It's the cookbook from Felitti, which, again, like I said, we're sitting here with Lydia Bastianich. So talk to us a little bit about, why did you decide to make a cookbook from the restaurant's recipes?
Well, if you imagine, you know, this is my 13th cookbook. So the rest of my cookbooks, I have the memoir, which you mentioned, mm-hmm. My American Dream, but the rest are cookbooks, mm-hmm. and with a theme. It's a pasta cookbook, it's an Italian regional cookbook, but this one was reflecting the recipes of the restaurants, the dishes that we cannot take off Felitti. And this, the idea came because, you know, Felitti is going to be 40 years old now, and to have a restaurant that has lasted that long and that is still thriving, It's an unusual kind of situation.
In New York City.
And so it's not just Lydia. It's a whole team that really makes successes. My all success books or TV or restaurants is all based on people that collaborate with me, that we work together, we have fun, and ultimately make a good product. So in Felitti, I still have two of the original workers from the beginning. And the chef, Fortunato Nicotra, with whom we co-wrote the book together, he's with me more than 20 years here.
Wow.
So I think that, you know, it was kind of a thank you to the team, to everybody, and also highlighting Felitti, because it deserves, after 40 years, still running on top.
I got to tell you, we had lunch today here, and I was blown away. The food was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank
delicious.
You.
Delicious.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Well, you had some of the recipes that are in this book.
Yeah, yeah. I had the tuna, the tonno was phenomenal.
Isn't that good?
Phenomenal.
Yes.
Oh, but everything was phenomenal.
That's Chef Fortunato's recipe, where he cooks with a little bit of breadcrumbs, mm-hmm. very Sicilian, because
I was going to say that.
And then sear just one side. So because we all like our tonno not overcooked. So that way you're in control. You sear one side, the bread gets crumbly and nice crunchy,
mm-hmm.
and then you have your kind of raw tuna on top.
Oh, it was delicious. And, you know, again, it is interesting to combine kind of the different cultures, too, within Italy. So he's Sicilian, you're from the north. So to combine the different flavor profiles.
Well, but that's one of the reasons, actually, where kind of we go well together. And he was born in Sicily, but then they went up to Torino, so to Piemonte, so he was also schooled gastronomically in Piemonte. So he has that. And then I have the other side of Italy, and together we make it happen.
So obviously, Felitti, this is your flagship, but you also have some other restaurants. So can you tell us a little bit, talk to us a little bit about those other restaurants that you have?
Sure. We have Becco, which is on 46 between 8th and 9th, and that's in the theater district, and it's a wildly popular a restaurant. That's a partnership. My son, when he came into the business, that's the first restaurant that we opened together. And it's, you know, it's great. It's known for its pasta special. You know, we make three pastas every day, new. And you can order that meal, a salad, a Caesar salad, and the three pastas. And they come around with the pot full of pasta. And they put it on your plate.
Oh, that's awesome.
As much as you like.
That's awesome.
And you can have seconds and thirds. And then,
oh, I like that.
And then we have Del Posto. Del Posto. So, you know, Italian food, it's food. Good food is on all levels. And that's our elegant version. It's down on 16th Street and 10th Avenue. It's a beautiful space. It's a, like a Venetian design. Melissa Rodriguez is the chef there, and she's been with us now 8 years. She does a phenomenal job. So it's taken traditional, because we're into Italian food, and just elevating it a little bit in the presentation. The setting is magnificent. The service is extraordinary. We have over 2,000 labeled wine cellars. So you have one of the largest, I think the largest selection of Italian wines. So you can really have a fine dining experience at Del Posto. Then with my daughter, who my daughter is also in business, it's a family business. There's Babbo. On Waverly Street.
Another great restaurant, yes.
There's Lupa, which is the Trattoria Lupa, which is Rome. Mm-hmm. Now my son-in-law is Roman, so, you know, he likes his amatriciana, he has carbonara, his cacio e pepe. So we have that. We have Otto on 8th and 5th Avenue, and that's kind of a pizzeria, trattoria, very much of a family place, non-committal place, great straightforward Italian food in its product. We have Lydia's Kansas City in Kansas City. So we are kind of spread out. And, of course, you know that I'm also involved in the chain Italy.
Oh, I love Italy. Yeah, you can actually get lost in that store.
Yeah. Some people make it a day.
Oh, you can. Absolutely. I remember when it first opened, I was there probably once a week just exploring what you had there, because it was constantly things were changing. It still are. It's just an amazing.
Yeah, it reflects the season. It reflects like a big market. It's not a big market. It's like a block in Italy where all the little shops are.
Yes,
and and restaurants.
Yeah, the piazza in the middle. So, yeah, it's really.
Yeah, you can have your cappuccino, your espresso. You can have your ice cream. Or you can have a pizza. Or you can sit down for your pasta, the freshly made pasta. So it's a great place here. People love it.
What is your favorite thing to cook?
You know, I am, you know, the favorite. I love seasonality. I love to be driven by the product. So, you know, what is great? What is at its best now? But if you put me in a corner, it's got to be pasta.
Pasta.
Yeah.
Any particular way?
You know, I'm from the north. You would say fresh pasta, but I love dry pasta. So either one, you know, I like making fresh pasta. I like pappardelle with wild mushrooms when they're in season. On the other hand, you know, I like linguine clam sauce, which is more Naples, you know.
Yes, yes.
Nice dry pasta, some good olive oil, a little garlic, lots
simple,
of parsley. Yeah.
I think that's what the beauty of Italian cuisine, too, is that you don't have to have all these crazy ingredients.
No.
Really, if you have a couple of great quality ingredients, you make a meal that's worth $1 million.
Actually, that is the mindset that when one cooks Italian should have. The product. Focus on the product. Don't buy too many. One central product. Then just the parsley, the oil, the garlic, whatever else goes with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Some grated grana, whatever.
And you're good to go. What would you consider your perfect meal?
Oh, my goodness. Again, it depends. Depends on, you know, whether I'm hungry and eating by myself and cooking, or whether I'm having a meal with the family, what the season, if it's a special occasion. But, you know, it would be that, you know, you have some sort of antipasto, and not very complicated, even some prosciutto, some roasted peppers, vegetables, marinated artichokes all the time. So a nice antipasto and some primi after, you know, some pasta, absolutely, and a little pasta. And in Italy you say due forchettate, two forkful. It doesn't have to be a mound. And then, of course, the main course. And the main course, you know, again, what's in season? I mean, I love fish, but I love a nice piece of roasted lamb. I like lots of vegetables. I need to have at least two or three vegetables, some legumes. You know, sometimes here in America, the protein is the dominant, and two-thirds of the plate is the dominant. In Italy, two-thirds is vegetables and legumes, and one-third is whatever, meat or fish or whatever. So I like that ratio. I don't have to have lots of meat or protein. I like vegetables. I like them seasoned. I love the chicories. I love the favas in the springtime, the artichokes. I don't know. I can keep them going.
Lydia, do you have any new cookbooks, TV shows, or projects in the works?
Yes, you know, I am working on, and, you know, it's, again, family affair. So with the books, my daughter Tanya, collaborates with me. We just tested the recipes for One Pot Meal Cookbook, but that's next year. We are taping now in the next month. We'll be taping the shows for the next year. So I taped 26 episodes, and I'll be traveling to Italy to doing some of those tapings. And you know, with the restaurant, we are opening a new Italy in Dallas.
Really, in Dallas?
Yes, in Dallas. We just opened one in Toronto, which was great. I am. You know, collaborating on the product line, the pasta, the sauces, Lydia's pasta, Lydia's sauces. So we are working. We have the marinara, the fresh marinara. We have the garlic. We have the tomato basil. We have the artichokes. So we are working on a new sauce, the bolognese sauce, Lydia's bolognese sauce. We are working on gluten-free pasta. That's expanding. There's always something new. And, you know, my children all have different parts, kind of interest in different parts of the business. My son-in-law, which is, you know, Roman, he is with the products and the sauces and all that. My son, restaurants also, but he has a passion of wine, you know, our Bastianich winery in Friuli. So we are working on that, a new label. So there's always something that I want to... But, you know, I think also this, for me, I love doing fundraisings and do social work around as much as I can.
What advice would you give to a young chef coming up in a business today?
Well, I would say it's a tough business. Be ready for it. And to be ready for it is that you must have a passion for it. You must love it because it's demanding. It gives you great satisfaction, but it's demanding. And, you know, I would say make sure that you are prepared, that you educate yourself. Give yourself all the opportunities to learn. Go to culinary school, travel, go work with mentors, different restaurants, people that you admire, and continue to nurture your knowledge because that's what you have to offer. That's your profession. And then, of course, go out and get your hands dirty. And ultimately, hopefully, you know, you make a plan where you become the boss and you open your own little restaurant. And I would say, you know, it's working hard. It's committing. It's being passionate about it. And it's always updating yourself and being ready. Do not miss any opportunities along the way because, you know, my growth is done a lot to opportunities that came my way, like Julia Child came my way. She invited me, I did it, and here I have the show. So, you know, this industry will put you in contact with a lot of people, a lot of different businesses, and they will see potential in you if you have it, and then will most likely offers will come. So study those opportunities. Make sure you're ready for them and that you want those opportunities and don't be afraid to grow.
My final question for you today, Lydia, is what do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, my goodness, my legacy. I want to be the best grandma in the world.
That's beautiful. That is the most important thing. Family is the most important thing. Absolutely. And I see that in the way I see that when you said that your whole face just lit up when you said you want to be the best grandma. That really is beautiful.
That's it.
Lydia, so how could people get in touch with you? Are you on social media? Do you have a website?
I am. I do Instagram. Did my kids, my grandkids now. I have five of them since I mentioned that. And the youngest one is now 16 to 21. So they lead me through technology. But I do have my own Instagram. I have Facebook. I tweet. So, and I do the tweeting and the Instagram myself.
Really? Okay.
I do that. So get in touch, follow, ask me questions. The Facebook is more of a complex, and I have in the office, although I contribute all the time to that. So yes, those are the places. And of course, I have the website, lydiasitaly.com. Which is no apostrophe, just Lydia's Italy. And Lydia Bastianich, you plug that in, you'll find me. I have a YouTube channel too. So we're posting little clips that when I film or when I travel to Italy, I take little clips and I share it on YouTube.
Well, Lydia, I want to thank you so very much for taking time out of your schedule to sit down with us and talk to us a little bit here at the table with Tony. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. Grazie. Prego. E mangia.
So again, I am Anthony Scilia, better known as Tony Mangia. I want to thank you for tuning in today to this episode of At the Table with Tony. We'll see you next time. Ciao for now.
At the Table with Tony would like to thank its sponsors: Rocco Muriale, Rob Quick, Joseph Cirillo, Raymond Guarini, Tom Gilmore, Oli G, Peter Ziza, Brian McGuire, Peter Ferreira, Rich Ottenstrauer, Anna Mavrianos, Antonio Pepinella, Anthony Ferraro, Sandra and Bob LaMotta, Mike Guerro, the Italian Enclaves Historical Society,